The gatherings of November.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning and happy Friday from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Here we are with continuing coverage of the fallout from the financial crisis. And there they will be this weekend in Washington, the leaders of the world's 20 largest countries meeting to discuss the immediate and the global financial crisis. We're not sure what could come of it. And here's Marketplace's John Dimsdale with a preview.
This weekend's host, George Bush, told a Wall Street audience yesterday it's time to bring the global economy into the 21st century, and that means overhauling financial rules established just after World War II.
One vital principle of reform is that our nations must make our financial markets more transparent. For example, we should consider improving accounting rules for securities so that investors around the world can understand the true value of the assets they purchase.
To get a grip on the world's financial problems, the White House decided to expand the invitation list beyond the biggest developed economies to include leaders of developing countries such as China, Brazil, and Indonesia. MIT economist Simon Johnson says giving growing economies a say in the solutions means they can also underwrite some of the costs.
In return for making their contributions, it is quite likely that the Chinese and maybe some other people would want changes in the governance of the IMF. That governance overweights Europe right now. And, you know, China and other emerging markets have been trying to reduce that representation for some time. This may be a good opportunity for China to push that agenda along.
This is the first ever meeting of the 20 world leaders, but David Chavern at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce wonders whether letting them all have the stage will lead anywhere.
Each head of state is going to get something like 15 minutes to talk. That kind of event and process doesn't lead you to a new financial regulatory structure internationally.
But Fred Bergsten at the Peterson Institute for International Economics says even if ambitions are pared down, it's important for world leaders to at least appear united.
The G20 countries have to be very careful to avoid any appearance of significant conflict between them that could undermine confidence in the very fragile financial markets.
This summit will be just a start, says Bergsten, especially since one important world leader won't even be there, President-elect Barack Obama. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Traders gathered and bought some stock. Call it Thirsty Thursday, as American markets rebounded with some big gains. The Dow, NASDAQ, and S&P all shot up around 7%, more than 500-point climb for blue chips. In Asia, markets closed higher by about 3%. European markets are up as well, anywhere from 2 to 4%. Happy Friday. But that's about the only good news coming out of Europe this morning. The EU reports that all the countries that use the euro currency are collectively in recession. Kyle James has that story from Berlin.
It's a milestone of sorts, but not the kind anyone wants. For the first time since the currency was introduced in 1999, the eurozone has entered recession. The economy has been hit from various sides. Inflation has skyrocketed, oil prices and the euro hit highs over the summer, and credit has dried up. Brussels-based analyst Nicolas Veron says many thought at one time the EU might avoid a U.S.-style downturn, but that's not what's happened.
In a way, European economies tend to be slower to adjust, both on the downside and the upside. So I would expect a recession that will perhaps come less brutally in Europe than it is coming in the U.S., but may last a bit longer.
He says the downturn will likely spur European leaders to look for a common policy response. Up to now, governments have acted on the national level. But since eurozone economies are so tightly linked, he says coordinated action is needed. In Berlin, I'm Kyle James for Marketplace.
First the car makers, now computers. 0% financing is all the rage these days, and Microsoft is trying to attract new clients with attractive financing. But don't expect to waltz over to your local electronics store for your deal. It is a business-only promotion. The Wall Street Journal reports Microsoft will offer 0% to new customers who spend between, get this, $20,000 and $1 million on Microsoft software. SAP came out with a 0% financing deal last month.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Medtronic, working for improved healthcare access with Health Connect, a practical guide to community outreach. Available to patient-serving groups at medtronic.com/community. And by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world. Online at shrm.org. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation of Kansas City, the foundation of entrepreneurship. Online at kauffman.org.
Insurance giants AIG needed federal assistance and even an increase in that assistance this week to help keep it afloat. It's been criticized for lavish retreats even after the bailout. Now the Washington Post reports the company plans to pay out about $500 million to top employees. The company says this so-called deferred compensation, and it prevents top brass from jumping ship. The fact that some employees are bringing this up ahead of time doesn't bode well for AIG. The same thing happened over at another company when some execs tried to get out while they still could. That company? Enron. This morning's theme has been gatherings, and that family get-together in a couple of weeks is likely to mean more fowl for airlines than you. Yeah, it's the busiest time of the year for high flyers, and those planes will likely be crowded, but the tanking economy is clipping some wings. Here's Marketplace's Janet Babin.
Thanksgiving travel on U.S. airlines is expected to dive about 10% from last year. The Air Transport Association Trade Group says it's the first decline for holiday air travel in 7 years. The drag is largely due to the weak economy. Consumers are thinking twice before flying. Aviation analyst Richard Abulafia at the Teal Group says U.S. carriers depend on leisure travel to fill seats, so the drop in demand will likely catch up with them.
The big American legacy carriers, pretty much the entire U.S. airline industry, is unique in the world. It's heavily geared towards volume and critical mass rather than focusing on the best kind of traffic.
The best kind of traffic being business class and international flights. While there will be fewer people flying this holiday season, your plane will probably still be full. High fuel costs have forced most airlines to cut capacity. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being here. Hope you have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.